Let's turn to the book of Joshua, please. Just a few verses in chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now let's go to near the back of this book of Joshua to chapter 23. We're going to jump about 25 years. Well, 20 to 25 years of history now, and we're going to come to chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Now let's just read a verse over in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. And we're going to start really with the same type of words that we began with. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Erez, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now God has promised to bless to us the reading of his precious word. I've come to this conference this weekend. I came with a message, and I came with a burden. And the easy way out would be to speak my message. But the Lord has laid upon my heart a burden today, and I trust He'll give help, and it is certainly meant to be an encouragement to the Lord's people. 2 weekends ago, at the Victoria Road Conference, the Sunday afternoon ministry, although there wasn't a lot of folks there, the Sunday afternoon ministry was probably the most stirring ministry I've listened to, I've heard for a long time. I didn't speak. That's why I enjoyed it so much. But it spoke to me. And I'm sure it spoke to most that were there that day. The theme of the afternoon of ministry was the return to first love that we read there of the Ephesians in the book of the Revelations, how they had left their first love and there was a need to return, and the whole afternoon was on restoration and turning back to God. And I tell you, it spoke to my soul. And these last 2 weeks have been a time of soul searching in my own heart as to my condition before a holy God. Not just the actions, not just what I am doing on the outside, but to the very core, the motivation, what is causing me to do what I do. Is it love for Christ? Is it love for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? So it's with this in mind that I want to just speak a little bit here from the book of Joshua. And what is on my heart this afternoon, this evening, I suppose, is what we find in Joshua for the most part, and the qualities that shone in Joshua as far as a leader is concerned. These qualities that came to the fore, that excelled in this man Joshua as he was chosen of God as a leader of his people. And what I want to get to in the end of it when we have time, and I hope we do, because we want to see that what is going to happen when now Joshua himself is ready to depart. And he is going to pass on this heritage to those that are coming up behind. And yet, because those people themselves have not experienced the hand of God, the working of God, the power of God, they are going to go a very, very different course than Joshua did. And we can see the mayhem and the departure that resulted when these folks, even though given to them, delivered to them from this man Joshua, all these principles and this encouragement, yet because they did not know for themselves the power and the working of the Lord as Joshua had experienced, we see the direction not only those men went, but those that followed them went as well. And so that's just what I want to look at very quickly. We know with the book of Joshua, it's a wonderful book. If you haven't read it, if you haven't studied it, listen, I want to tell you, it's a book to study. It is a wonderful book. The promises of God, God going before, God saying that every place that you put your foot, He says, I'm going to give it to you. And that God was faithful to His word. That God was faithful to His command. And as they go in obedience, why, they possess the land. The first 5 chapters, it has to do with them entering in the land. And there, just before they're going to go into the land there in chapter 5, those that had come out of the wilderness, the males, they're circumcised, they observe the Passover, and they ate the corn, the old corn of the land, and after 40 years, God cut off the manna. 40 years God had been faithful to the children of Israel in the wilderness, and now he cuts off the manna because they're eating the old corn of the land. Chapter 6 to 12, there we have them conquering the land. They're going in, and they started Jericho. When you come to the end there, there's those list of those kings, those 31 kings that were conquered as they went through the land, as God gave them power and strength as they went through the land. Chapters 13 to 21 has to do with them dividing the land, the inheritance that was given to them. And then when we come to these end chapters, it has to do with administering the land. And then, of course, if we had read in the last chapter, we would have seen there about the cemeteries in the land, these faithful men that were buried in the land. But what I want to look at just about Joshua for a few seconds is these different qualities that Joshua had that marked him out as a leader of God's people. In the midst of difficult times, in the midst of changing times, listen, they were coming out of a very set routine in the wilderness. 40 years they had been there in the wilderness, and they had moved a number of times, but for the most part, they got pretty comfortable with where they were. And now as they are going to go in the land, it's going to take a very special person. It's going to take a very particular person. And we see where God has had His eye upon him, and He's been using him even in previous days. And now He is going to bring him to the fore. He is going to actually be the one that will take the place of Moses. We've been hearing a lot about Moses today. And Moses and all that he did, those wonderful things. We heard that he was the prophet. He was that great general in the army. All these different things. But as we were reminded, God speaks of him here at the beginning of this book of Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. And now that Moses has fulfilled his course in life, Moses has brought the children to the edge of the promised land. And now, as he is going to be taken out of the scene, God has been preparing. God has been raising up this man Joshua to now stand in the place of Moses and now lead the people into the land to claim the inheritance that God had said that they would have. When it comes to Joshua, there's numerous things we could look at. We could see in Numbers 13 there where we have a mention of his name. It's interesting that when they are naming those that went into the land as the spies, he was one of the spies. There in the book of Numbers, he is called Oshia, which means Savior. But then by the end of that verse, Moses refers to him as Jeshua, which is salvation is of the Lord. So here is a man whose name meant Savior. A man who might have been able to blow his own trumpet, per se. A man who could have said, look, I will be the Savior. I will be the one that will lead. And yet, he is a man that realized in his humility that salvation is of the Lord. That if there was anything that was going to be done, what was going to be done in that place, in that country as they went in, it was going to be God that was going to do it. And that's what he reiterates there in chapter 23, time and time again, what the Lord has done, how the Lord brought us in, how the Lord gave us the victory. And so he realized that he was just a vehicle. He was just a vessel that God was going to use. And so here's his first quality of this man, that he was a man who was dependent upon God. A man who didn't depend on his own thinking, his own strength, his own power, but a man who looked totally and wholly to God. That is the type of man that God used as a leader of his people. Not only was a man who was a dependent upon God, he was a man who had his confidence in God. A man who as he had seen God work, a man who had his eyes open to the workings, to the mighty power of God, and because of that, he had his confidence in God. He looked to God, not to men. When God said he would do something, he realized that God had the power to be able to do it. And even when it comes to his heritage, remember back in Genesis 49, there is Jacob is blessing those different ones, the 12 tribes. And Joshua, his tribe was Ephraim, son of Joseph. And he drew his strength from God. And they're one of the blessings that were bestowed upon that family. His hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God. And so he could have confidence in God because he knew that he was in the hands of the mighty, mighty God. But not only was this a man who had dependence on God and confidence in God, he was a man who was very humble in his service. A man of humility. A man who could have looked for title. A man who very well could have looked for place. And yet, the times we hear God referring to Joshua, just as he refers to Moses, back in Joshua chapter 1, he is referred to as Joshua, Moses' minister. Moses' servant. So here was a man who, although he was going to be brought to the front, although he was going to have the foreplace, yet he was a man who was humble before God. He was a man who looked to God. Not only was a man who was humble in his service, but he was a man who wasn't afraid to fight. A man who wasn't afraid to take a stand. Exodus 17, verse 13. The first mention of this man, Joshua, one of the first mentions, and it's in relation to the children of Israel fighting Amalek. And there as they go out to fight Amalek, we've been reminded, Moses on the mount, Aaron and Ur holding his hands up, and as Joshua is fighting, it says there that he discomfited Amalek. He went into the battle. He wasn't one that stood away at a safe distance. He wasn't one that just viewed from afar. But he got into the very battle. He was a man of courage. A man who had a backbone. A man who took a stand with God. So there we see his prowess in conflict. Numbers 27 verse 18 also tells us that this man was endued with the Spirit of God. In Numbers 27:18 it says God's Spirit was with him. And as a leader of the people of God, as one who was going to lead God's people at this unique time, at this momentous time, it was one whom the Spirit of God had come upon, and the Spirit of God gave him the wisdom as he went through the land, as he fought the battles, as now the time came to divide the land, the Spirit of God was upon him. Not only was he endued with the Spirit, as God's leader, he wasn't one that rose up and took the place on his own. But he was a man that was appointed by God. In Deuteronomy 1, Numbers 27, there God is speaking of choosing, of raising up this man, Joshua. A man that didn't strive for that place, but a man who was looking to God, a man who made himself available, a man who God was able to lift up and God was able to use. God appointed him in this task. And not only was a man that was appointed by God, but he was a man who apprehended the very purposes of God for the children of Israel. Remember there when the spies come back. And those 10 spies, you know, they say, yeah, it's true. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land where, you know, look at the grapes. They had the evidence and said, yep, but there's giants in the land. How are we ever going to be able to fight them? And they got looking at things from an earthly perspective. They got looking at things from a manward perspective. And all they saw was the giants. They didn't see the blessing. They didn't see the hand of God. And yet here was this man, Joshua, along with Caleb. And yes, there were giants in the land. But what does it say? He says, let us go up at once and possess it. They apprehended. He apprehended the purposes of God. The purpose that God had raised him up for at that particular time was to lead the children of Israel in, that they might receive of the bounty and the blessing and the benefit of this land that God had for them. And so you can see these are very wonderful descriptions. They are very wonderful qualities of one who would be a leader of God's people. And listen, these are the very same qualities that God always requires in those that will be leaders amongst us. Those that have a dependence upon God. Those that have confidence in God because they've seen the hand of God at work. Those who are not looking for an office, are not looking for prestige, but are going into it, they're doing it as a work. Those that are not afraid of standing for God, their proudness in the battle, and when the enemy comes, when something has to be dealt with, they take that stand with God behind them. And those that are leaders in the assembly today, they are those that have been raised up by the Spirit of God, as we read in Acts chapter 20. They've been chosen by God, and they have an apprehension, they have an understanding of the purposes why God has raised them up, that they might be a guides of God's flock, of the assembly, that they might keep it, that they might dress it, that they might preserve it, that it might bring glory to God. And that's what Joshua did. For these 20 years at least, there is there in the land. The battles are going on. The battles have stopped. And now as they are distributing the inheritance, Joshua stands as a man that the people look to. A man that has experienced the power of God. A man who knows God in his life and God has worked through him. This is the man that is leading God's people. But now Joshua's old. Happens to everybody. Getting old. It's time now to pass the mantle. It's time now he realizes that he says there that he was waxing old and stricken in age. He knew he was getting old. And now as he is Now as he realizes that he's not long for this earth, he gathers together all the people. And in chapter 23, it seems that the emphasis of his message is to the elders, it's to the heads, it's to the chiefs, it's to the princes. And in chapter 24, it's to the congregation, it's to the people of Israel. And in chapter 23, there they're all gathered. You can just see them. Caleb's there. The high priest is there. And he's called them all together. And now he is going to warn them. He is going to warn them lest they become complacent. And that seems to be the big danger that he is worried about here in chapter 23. That now that he is going to go, they are going to become very, very complacent as to their position, as to how they ought to serve God. And in being complacent, they will soon regress from the spiritual progress that they have been making. So I just want to look for a minute here in relation to these new leaders that are coming on, the danger of complacency. 7 times in chapter 23, he speaks of the nations that were still left. He speaks of the potential of the influence of those nations that they are going to have upon the children of Israel. And Joshua understands the influence that these nations will have on the children of Israel will not be positive. It won't be for their betterment. It will be for their detriment. And so as he comes to them, as he speaks to them, he says now that unless you take a stand, unless there is this turning to the Word of God, just as he turned to the Word of God, he says, all these things that we have gained, all this land that we have possessed, he says, we are in danger of losing it. We are in danger of being taken away if we do not cleave to the Word of God, if we do not hold the commandments of the Lord. And so he tells them there's results of complacency. Verse 13, he tells us there in chapter 23, he says, one of the results of complacency, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations. And so one of the results of being complacent is that they will now start to experience defeat. Where before it was victory. Where before, every place that they went, every place they put their foot, God gave them the victory. And now because they were going to look to self, now because they were going to start forgetting God and just doing their own thing, it would seem, he said, you are in danger of suffering defeat. Not only was there the danger of complacency was defeat, in the same chapter, same verse, he tells us there that another result of complacency is discomfort. Verse 13 again, it says, know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off the good land. And so he says, another danger is that you will become very uncomfortable. It will cause discomfort among the children of Israel if there is not a cleaving to the Word of God. And then the third result, down in verse 16, is that we will see now that the nations are going to look on. The nations will look when you have transgressed and bowed yourselves to them. And as they look on, the name of the Lord will be looked on with disregard, with disgrace. And so he says, as a result of complacency, there will be defeat. There will be discomfort. And he says, there will be disgrace. And it would seem that he was keenly aware that this could happen. And we see over in Judges chapter 2 where we read, this generation that came up after him, after those that were alive in Joshua's day, when they passed away as well, when there was no connection back to the initial work, to the initial getting of the land, where they just did what was right in their own eyes. There was absolutely no cleaving to the Word of God. They suffered this defeat. They suffered this discomfort and the disgrace before all the other nations as they profaned the name of God. You might say, where are you getting at? What are you trying to get at? I say this with great fear and trembling. And certainly, I do not say it with any malice or anything of the sort. But I do say that those that are elders amongst us today, when it comes to the assembly of God, you are the first line of defense as to what comes in to an assembly. Now, I know we would love to see the assembly filled to overflowing. It's just part of us. We like to see all the seats filled. That's fine. But listen, filling seats in an assembly at the expense of truth, it is going to bring defeat, it is going to bring discomfort, and ultimately it will bring disgrace. The assembly of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. And sad to say, so often today there are things, you know, you could just imagine if it were possible that a man like Joshua could be brought back to life even 10 years after he had died. And to look around at the conditions, it would grieve him in his spirit as he think of all the work that had been done, of the promises of God and the power of God that had been displayed. And now because they had turned from the truth, now they had gone their own way, as they see the results and the condition of Israel, it would grieve his heart. I wonder, those dear elders that have gone on home to heaven, those that had the rule over us, those that clung to the Word of God tenaciously, and sometimes it upset us so much, but listen, they had a purpose in view when they did that. They understood that they were the first line of defense in the assembly, and as they looked at the Word of God, and maybe some of those men didn't know their book maybe as much as some today do, but listen, they knew God. And maybe today, sometimes the problem is people know this book more than they know God. And as they had a care for the assembly and a caution with the assembly, and as much as they wanted to see seats filled, they drew a line in the sand and they said, no, we're not going to have the world in the assembly. We're not going to allow those things from Christianity into the assembly. We're not going to allow those church things into the assembly. We are going to stand for the truth of the Word of God. And that's exactly what Joshua told these people. That's exactly what was he said to these men as he was warning them, as he was guarding them. He told them here in chapter 23 where we read there, that in verse 6 he says, first off, he says, there has to be obedience. There has to be obedience to the Word of God. He says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. So he said, listen, there has to be obedience to the Word of God. And sometimes, very often, it will take courage on behalf of elders to stand for the Word of God. There will be pressure from other families, from those outside, trying to see things come in. But listen, as you stand before God knowing that you have to answer to God with the Word of God open, as you look at the Word of God, being obedient to the Word of God, make the choices, the decisions based on what the Word of God says. Back in chapter 1 where we read when God spoke to Joshua, he spoke there, he said he had to speak of it. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, listen, when it comes down to it, your final authority is the Word of God. Said, not only speak of it, but study it, meditate thereon, night and day. And not only did they have to meditate upon it, but he said, submit to it, observe to do all according to what is written therein. And so these men, as he pled with them, knowing that he was leaving, knowing that now this generation was coming, that wasn't there for the fighting, wasn't there to pay the price of what it took to get into that land. They were going to so freely and quickly throw away some of those truths. He said, listen, be obedient to the Word of God. I was reading a statement the other day by Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton. And he said, before you tear down a fence, make sure you remember why it was erected. Before you tear down a fence,
Before we discard some assembly truth that was handed down by godly men who before God studied the Word of God and sought to lead us, sought to preserve us, sought to keep us separate from the world around, before we're so quick to throw out some of those what we conceive to be fences, stop and think, why were they put up? Not only did they have to be obedient to the Word of God, my time is gone. Not only did they, he talked to them about obedience, verse 7 and 8. He speaks to them about separation. Separation. Keeping transparently clear of the world around us. Not trying to adjust things that it's maybe part worldly and part Christian. No. He's saying there to understand what is of the world, what is of the nations, to keep it at bay, because he says, what's going to happen? It'll soon be so much part of us that we'll be marrying them, we'll be worshiping their gods. And he says, unless you keep that clear line of demarcation, he says, you'll be defeated. That's exactly what will happen. So there had to be separation. And so today, as we seek to grow the numbers, maybe that's our mentality, or fill the seats, and yet to do it at the sake of separation, to do it at the sake of the Word of God, listen, it will not prosper. It will not be a blessing to God. Oh, it might gratify the flesh for a moment, but in the end, it will not be a blessing to God. So he tells them here, there has to be obedience. There has to be separation. And finally, verse 11, it says there, in verse 11, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love. You know, isn't that a favorite catchphrase of the world today and even of those in the assembly today? Oh, listen, we got to show more love. Hey, I'm all for love. I have nothing against love. But, you know, isn't it amazing here it says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. When we're speaking of love and how we should love, our love first off should be to God. Love to God's Son. Love to God's purposes. Love to God's Word. Love to God's will. And anything else that has to do with God, to love that. And as my affections and my love are wholly, singularly directed at God and the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, then my peripheral love, it'll be in its right place too. And yes, I can love Christians. I can love those that maybe want to come into the assembly. And yet they are going to bring something in the assembly that is going to be a step back from the principles that we've been taught over the years. Well, I love them, but I love God more. And so I have to have courage. I have to take the stand. I have to say, no, that can't come into the assembly. That the principles of God is a holy assembly, and we're to keep separate from the things of the world. We're to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And so because I love God more, and it's not that I don't love these Christians and I don't love those that want to be part of the assembly, but because it's God's assembly and I love Him the most, I'm going to draw the line in the sand and say no farther. I'm going to say that because I love the Lord, I am not going to allow the world to infiltrate. Just one little step at a time. Oh yeah, in itself it's not a big thing, but one thing becomes another, becomes another, becomes another. And before you know it, the elders get very uncomfortable. Because of something that was little that we didn't bother saying something about it at the beginning, it has multiplied exponentially to this point. And now what can we say? Now what can we do? And so it just gets worse and worse, and it multiplies and it multiplies. And listen, it doesn't bring glory to God. Oh, I trust that in these dark days in which we live, in these days of departure, that those that are leaders amongst us, and we pray for them, and we should all pray for them, that there'll be men like Joshua, men willing to take a stand, men that love the Lord their God, men that want to glorify God, and that shows itself in how they guide and how they direct the local assembly from where they are. Trust God will bless His Word. Trust God will keep us and preserve us until He comes.